I love reading romance, even with my mom. Historical, paranormal, a good rom-com. We both like a grump, an alpha and a beard. But reading with my mom, well, it gets kinda weird. I'm reading steamy scenes, getting bothered and hot. But if mom is asking, I read it for the plot. We look for swoony scenes, those moments that delight. Communication's good and the banter's so right. So if you'd like to read along and join the group, here's a little secret, I'll let you into the loop. It's just a little show that we like to dub, Not Your Mom's Romance Book Club.
Welcome to the book club that sure is not your mom's romance book club, but it is my mom's. I'm Ellen, and joining me as always is my mom. Hi, Mom. How are you?
Hello, Ellen. I'm quite well.
Awesome. Today we are chatting about On Rotation by Charlene Owobi. But first, Mom, what have you been reading and watching?
Well, this is the only thing I read.
Likewise.
We're getting in a rut. We just started watching
Renegade Nell
on Disney Channel.
Disney Plus.
Sorry. I'm an old lady. I remember new things.
We mainly started watching it. I mean, it looked cute, but also it's got one of our girls from Dairy Girls in it. It's a cute show.
Cute. It's entertaining.
Yes, it's very, historical with dark magic.
And superpowers.
And maybe light magic. It's cute. It's definitely, if you're into, a paranormal historical, it's definitely...
Yeah, definitely.
Got that going on. There's also a new season of Taskmaster that started.
Yes, we started watching that. I can't think of what else we've been watching.
Yeah, it was kind of a... It was my last week before spring break. On spring break, thank every entity up above...
Whoever you pray to, thank them for Ellen.
Yeah. And I was doing the book fair and just generally dealing with, right before spring break stuff.
We did rewatch season one of Bridgerton.
We did, because sister-in-law Kristen has never watched it, and we thought that was a crime on par with human trafficking.
Not quite that bad.
And
we wanted to rewatch it before the new season comes out anyway.
Yeah. So we watched the first season with her. We're going to see about making second season happen. If I seem low energy, it's because I am.
Ellen hasn't been feeling well.
No. With lady problems.
Yes. So...
Let's just say I'm on my period and it's causing, I think I've talked, I have cysts on my ovaries and sometimes they just really flare up.
And knock you out.
And make me miserable. And that was happening today. And last night as well. So yesterday into today, I've just been kind of miserable.
I'm sorry, Ellen. I wish there was something I could do for you.
Yeah, you're useless.
I am useless. I get it. I prepared you a lovely Easter dinner today.
You did.
So, you're welcome.
But I can't, that's the thing, is this makes me so, knocked out that I can't even enjoy food. It's rude.
That is a dilemma.
Yeah.
Because we had delicious food.
Yeah. Today we are chatting about On Rotation by Charlene Owobi. I hope I'm saying her name right. This is her debut novel, maybe, on her Goodreads. She also has a novel that she wrote, apparently, when she was a teenager. But it's definitely, On Rotation is definitely, her first traditionally published. Obviously, the first that we've read by her. But she has, this book has popped up on a free for all a time or two, I think.
Oh, okay.
So here is the back cover description of On Rotation. For fans of Grey's Anatomy and 7 Days in June, this dazzling debut novel by Charlene Obuobi explores that time in your life when you must decide what you want, how to get it, and who you are, all while navigating love, friendship, and the realization that the path you're traveling is going to be a bumpy ride. Ghanaian American Angela Appiah has checked off all the boxes for the perfect immigrant daughter. Enroll in an elite medical school, snag a suitable lawyer / doctor / engineer boyfriend, and surround self with a gaggle of successful and or loyal friends. But then it quickly all falls apart. Her boyfriend dumps her, she bombs the most important exam of her medical career, and her best friend pulls away. And her parents, whose approval seems to hinge on how closely she follows the path they chose, are a lot less proud of their daughter. It's a quarter-life crisis of epic proportions. Angie, who has always faced her problems by working twice as hard to get half as far, is at a loss. Suddenly, she begins to question everything. Her career choice, her friendships, even why she's attracted to men who don't love her as much as she loves them. And just when things couldn't get more complicated, enter Ricky Gutierrez. Brilliant, thoughtful, sexy, and most importantly, seems to see Angie for who she is instead of what she can represent. Unfortunately, he's also got Wasteman practically tattooed across his forehead, and Angie's done chasing mirages of men, or so she thinks. For someone who's always been in control, Angie realizes that there's one thing she can't plan on: matters of her heart. Mom, what did you think of On Rotation?
I'll give this one a like. I would like to give it a really like, but there's just too many things with it that.
Yeah, I'm also at a like. There's definitely things I like. There's moments I like a lot. And there's components I also really like a lot. But the book itself is kind of all over the place.
It's kind of a hodgepodge of stuff going on.
And, yeah. And with how I was feeling, it wasn't as well received by me.
Well, I felt perfectly fine. And I mean, as I told you throughout the book, there was stuff about it that was bugging me.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. What did you think of Angie as our heroine?
I like Angie most of the time.
Yeah, same.
But then at the end, I was very frustrated with Angie.
Yeah, she was fine. I was on her side most of the time until the end conflict.
Yeah. I have to premise the whole thing with saying almost everybody in this book irritated me at some time.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Some more than others.
But. Yeah, some more than others. And so a lot of it ended up being resolved, but there was so much of it that just could have been, like, handled differently and handled better. And so it was frustrating to read about these people who just really were not always good people.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you'll have a question that will. Do you have a question that's going to, where I can highlight some of the stuff that bugged me?
Yeah, I'll let you go off in a little bit.
Okay. Thanks, Ellen, for letting me. For giving me that opportunity.
Yeah. I don't know that anybody did anything that's, like, particularly, like, reprehensible, but they all just,
like... Not like bad guy, not like mustache twirly bad guy kind of stuff.
That's what your comment made it sound like.
Oh, well, not that. No. But her parents irritated me. Her sister irritated me. Even Nia irritated me. The only person who didn't was Shay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. I liked... Them,
yeah,
most of the time. And I mean, all the time. Ricky did stuff that irritated me.
Mm-hmm.
Angie did stuff that irritated me.
Well, it's like they all take turns being irritating.
Yeah.
like when somebody's doing something stupid, like, everybody else is fine, but then, like, they just Like, at so with everything that happens in the book, there's just, like, a new person who you're just kind of annoyed with.
Yeah. And so it wasn't, it took away the enjoyment of the reading experience in a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah, she was fine. I liked the representation of her Ghanaian background. I thought
I did too. I always liked that kind of stuff.
And I thought that was interesting. You know, it's kind of a different perspective than we've had before. When I was in Italy, I went to a Ghanaian family's home, and the mother was making this stew with, like, chili peppers in it. Oh my gosh. Like, I could not breathe. Like,
it was in the air.
So spicy in the air. We were, like, sitting in their apartment, and I was like coughing the whole time. And when we got out, I was just like, oh my gosh, I can breathe. Like, I thought I was gonna die. So I know that they can get,
I like their spice.
They can get spicy sometimes. Yeah, so I thought all of that was good. We're gonna talk about her medical stuff. I thought that was good. And most of the time, like, up to a good chunk of the book, I was usually like, okay, she's, like, making rash decisions. And, like, I'm, you know, she's getting upset at some points, but I think it's legit. And
I agree.
And
then at the end, she just...
she becomes irrational.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you think of Ricky as our hero?
He was the same. I liked him most of the time, but I guess when we talk about the conflict, he kind of bugged me at the conflict time, too. I mean...
he bugged me less than she did.
At the conflict time? Yes. I mean, they both handled situations poorly.
This is... okay, so here's the deal. We're going to talk about, like, the meet cute. He bugged me in that portion of the book.
Of course he did.
And, like, the beginning portion of the book, and I was totally on her side. And then we, like, completely flip with the end conflict, where I was fine with him and annoyed with her. So...
and, yeah, he didn't bug me as much. I mean, I guess he had his reasons for what he did, but, he still, I think, could have handled things better than he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it. Yeah, he was cute. Here's part of my problem, though. My other thing is, like, I don't know if I think that they're going to make it. Like, solely based on the conflict, I guess.
Well, and throughout the book, they were so bad on again.
Communication
and
issues.
On again, off again for... ever. I mean, mm-hmm. The whole book was them being on again, off again.
Yeah.
It was not a romance book where they meet each other and then they start falling in love and that's the storyline. I mean, this is, you know, she hates him, she loves him. She hates him, she loves him. She hates him, she loves him.
Well, and I was never, like, completely clear on the timeline. So, like, he later tells her that he's like, no, I think I've been in love with you the whole time. But then, like, they start hanging out when I think he's been, like, broken up with his girlfriend at that point, and like, he's like, but I'm not interested in you, I don't want to date you, and I'm like, okay, why?
Yeah,
like,
you're gonna talk about the meet cute?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can do that now. What did you think of the meet cute?
Well, I thought it was cute until I was like, ah! Turns out she's crying in this garden, like a garden in the middle of the city, and that's this gated garden, and he comes in and finds her and, you know, asks what's wrong and can he help her? And they start talking and then they end up spending the afternoon together and they have this great time.
And they're, like, brushing up against each other.
Yeah, there's...
they're making eyes at each other. There's a lot of...
looking at each other's lips kind of, yeah, you know, is he going to kiss me kind
of
stuff.
And a lot of, like, telling her how beautiful she is and stuff like that.
And so she says, when they get ready to part, she says, you know, do you want to go out sometime? He's like, oh, by the way, I have a girlfriend.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry if you misread the situation. Like, I have a girlfriend. I'm like, how? Of course she's going to misread that situation.
Anybody would misread that. So it was off-putting from the beginning. And then, of course, as fate would have it, they run into each other again with the girlfriend. I mean, the girlfriend's there.
Okay, so his whole, like, why, and, like, at one point he even, like, questions her, like, why did you think I was flirting with you? And it's like, what?
Because you were.
Like, come on now.
And he even later admits that he was. Yeah. So he's, like, gaslighting her.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I don't know. And so, like, the pacing of all that point where they meet and they're kind of flirting and then he's like, oh, but no, I have a girlfriend. And then they run into each other again, this time with the girlfriend. And then
at a concert. Turns out he's friends with, anyway, they've got some mutual friends somewhere.
Yeah.
I know he's friends with Shay, but Shay wasn't in the picture yet, right?
No, it was it Michelle?
Someone was friends with someone. I don't
know. No, Diamond. It was.
Okay. I can't keep track of all these people. Someone was friends with someone.
Yeah. That's the other thing is there's just a lot of, like, there's a lot of people in the book. And some of them play, like, an important role.
Well, some of them you get to know. And then some of them are just names that are thrown out now and then, like Diamond.
Yeah.
So it's hard to keep track of some of the side characters. Some of them, you know, like Michelle, I got her and
Michelle and obviously Marcus. Mia and Shay and Marcus gets mentioned enough. But then there's like people on her rotations where, and just maybe that's
names get thrown around and it just gets kind of flustering.
Yeah. But the whole timeline with him and his girlfriend is, I don't know. And like I said, I was not in the best headspace while reading this.
So they, and then she meets up with him again. I can't remember. Oh, I guess they went to the improv show. And then the girlfriend wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But there was no mention of what was going
on. They were in a relationship still at that point.
And they end up sitting by each other and chatting. And then, you know, they end up like communicating and texting. And she's like, okay, well, we'll just be friends. I guess we'll just be friends. And then it turns out he's been broken up with his girlfriend for like a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And, so then, you know,
I don't know. So like, it was all, so because like, it wasn't ever very clear when he was broken up with his girlfriend. It's like, okay, when am I supposed to be okay with you having been flirting with her?
Yeah.
You were doing that like this whole time. So when exactly did one relationship end so that you can start doing that?
Well, it turns out that his girlfriend had been cheating on him. And I think he knew she was cheating. Anyway, so I think they were trying to make it all okay.
Yeah.
But it never gelled, like, time-wise, timeline-wise, or even, like, I'm not feeling like any of this is okay. And
well, and then even when it's probably okay because he's been broken up, he still like does this like weird like stringing her along stuff where,
well, and
do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, and then the whole thing with, I mean, they're obviously really into each other. They've been making out constantly. They went out on a date, and so she's like, oh, so, you know, she's just kind of joking around. She's like, so am I your girlfriend now? And
well, she's not joking
around. Well, she's not joking around
in the way that girls do
it. But she was kind of drunk, so
yeah.
So and then he like freaks out.
Yeah.
And then the conflict, I guess, kind of comes into play.
Yeah, which we're not there yet. What did you think of the medical field? And
I thought that was interesting. I actually have a dear friend who has three sons who are doctors.
And she will tell you
and she talks about it all the time. You know, regardless, that's fantastic.
And they're very good friends of mine as well.
Yeah, very good friends of ours. So I understood and followed a lot of that. I couldn't get my asterisk to work. Like a couple times I'd tap on it and it would work, and then other times it just
didn't work. How I feel about that. And I'm wondering if in throughout the book she's got footnotes. And when you're reading it on the Kindle, at least, you click on the asterisks. But it's difficult to do because they're small, and if you click on it, like, a little bit off, it'll just turn the page. And so you have to
click. Or it'll highlight it like it's trying to figure out the definition of the word.
I thought it would be easier for you because you have your.
I do, and it still was hard for me.
Font so ginormous.
I tried it a few times, and I got a couple times for it to work, and then the rest of the time I was just like, it's more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
And
well, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, like, as a, because it's kind of used in a cutesy way. Like, I think it's supposed to be reflective of, like, a medical textbook.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was helpful information because she's talking about, you know, things on her rotations. And so, like, well, there's a lot of medical jargon.
And some of her Ghanaian speak, which, you know, would have been helpful. But for the most part, I think I just used context clues and,
like,
went for
it. I didn't click all of them, but the ones that I did click, they were mostly, like, kind of jokey.
Okay.
And so I think that's cute, but I don't know. I kind of like the idea more of just incorporating jokes into your writing if you're going
to if you're going to do that.
I don't know. So I don't know how I feel about it. But
it didn't work great on the Kindle.
It didn't work great on the Kindle. And so
I'm assuming if it was in print that they would
have
be at the,
like, the actual footnote
at the bottom
of the page,
which would have been easier.
Yeah. But yeah, so because we have dear friends who are, you know,
going through all of the med school stuff.
Going through all of this stuff right now. And actually starting to wind down on that.
So I was familiar with
it also was kind of interesting to, like, oh, like, I've heard them talk about that, but I guess that kind of adds more.
The match thing with getting a, you know, matching you with a school. I mean, with a hospital.
Yeah.
For residency.
So all of that was, I thought it was interesting, and I think it's an interesting setting for, you know, a romance hero or heroine.
Well, and, you know, just helps you appreciate what they have to go through and how much work it is to be, you know, a med student.
If anything, I might have preferred if he also was in there. Because while I like it, her doing her rotations didn't ever seem to have that much to do with anything else in the plot. I mean, sometimes some things came up around it, but...
Well, other than the very end, when she was there with his family.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I don't know. There's just a lot, like, a lot of the book felt disjointed.
There was a lot of stuff going on. And a lot of stuff that didn't really, it didn't move the plot along at all.
Yeah. Let's talk about Nia. I know you have thoughts.
I do. I was very irritated with, Nia is her very best friend. They've been best friends since junior high. And they were roommates. And just out of the blue, Nia
is like, you don't know anything about me. I'm moving out.
I mean, and that was literally it. And then she moved out. And Angie was quite distraught about the whole thing. And it's, and then after a few weeks, Nia comes around and she comes and explains to her what was going on in her brain and everything. But it's like, you could have had this conversation. If you're that good of friends, it seems like you could have been having this conversation for a long time. If you felt that way, then tell her that you were feeling that way.
Also, like, girl, just buckle up. Because, like, adult friendship is so much different than, like...
Yeah, than junior high friendship.
Well, and college bestie friendship. You know, like, I don't know. It felt immature. I was also, like, frustrated with Nia in that encounter. I did think that, like, her apology and explanation for why she was feeling that way was good, and
yeah, and I got it, and that was good, but it seemed like a conversation she could have had before she just, like, I'm moving out, I'm out of here.
I agree. And pretty pretty tough thing to do on your friend who is in medical school and, like, knowing, I mean, she lives with her. She knows how, like, rigorous that is.
Well, the thing that she says to her is, you don't even pay any attention to my friends. You don't even know my friend's name. And that's, and it's like, you know what? Let's back off a little bit on the girl who has to, you know, study 24/7
and see boys with their faces.
Yeah. And then it comes to find out that wasn't even what she was really that mad about.
Yeah.
So it was all very weird and seemed very high school-y. And I was not happy with
it. And it was also just kind of another thing where I'm like, why is this in the book?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I don't know. I think the book is supposed to be a romance, right? And
that
we're supposed to be kind of like the back cover reflects, right? That it's, she's figuring out her own life, you know, and she's kind of in this transition period of, you know, migrating from college life to now moving into, like, professional adult life. And the differences that, you know, you encounter along the way with that. But it never felt super fluid,
focused on that. And it did touch on her, you know, coming to grips with being alone by herself and just learning to enjoy her own company and that kind of stuff and about how she enjoyed that. And I appreciated that, but it was just such a small, like, blip in the book that it didn't. So even as a gromance, the growth was so minuscule that it didn't even, I don't know. It just, there was nothing that it really just hit on, like, this is what this book is about.
Yeah.
The romance, but the romance was shaky throughout the book at best.
Yeah, it was messy in its own way. And so, like, nothing ever felt, like, super grounded. It just, super and like cohesive. I said, everything felt a little too disjointed because, like we've said, the relationship was kind of all over the place itself. And then you've got a lot of, like, friendship and work drama. And, you know, even with the work stuff, I think that was one of the better things. But with a job that is, by its nature, so transitory, right? And she's literally moving from one place to another. Like, we needed something that felt more grounded in the story. And I felt like we were just constantly, like, moving from one thing to another.
Just putting out fires left and right. It was just a book of putting out fires.
Yeah.
And they were all different and disjointed and disconnected.
Yeah.
Are you going to ask me about her sister? Because I have
thoughts on my notes on. So this is the point where you can just rant about whatever you want.
So that's when Nia bugged me.
Yeah.
Her sister, Tabitha, who the book starts out kind of with her getting
engaged.
Pre-engaged. I don't know what they call it, but
the knocking.
Yeah. So her getting engaged to get engaged kind of thing. But so she's, like, supposed to be, have this great relationship with her sister, and her sister comes and meets her boyfriend for the first time, Ricky, and her sister is a complete asshole to him. She's terrible. And so finally he's just like, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna go. And so he leaves, and then she's like, well, what, she's to her sister, she says, well, what are you doing? She's, well, you don't really want to be with him anyway, and he doesn't seem serious about you, and just, and it was just, the whole thing just seemed so off-putting to me. I mean, it made me not endeared to her sister at all. Like, it,
which is just weird because, like, up to that point, like, we were kind of endeared to her. And, like, we didn't really have a sense of, like, her being a bitch. And so that's
asking him how much money he makes and just all kinds of weird stuff.
I mean, I think that's kind of supposed to be, like, somewhat indicative with the culture. But then that's another thing that, like, she should have
flushed out more.
Yeah.
If that was the case.
Yeah.
Her parents bugged me because, and she even, like, ghosted her parents for several weeks.
Months. I think it's, like, months. A couple months. They talk.
Because her mom was, and I get it. I get what she would, but her mom was totally putting all this pressure on her and giving her a hard time about not doing well on one of her tests. And, And, you know.
Which, the whole, like, I mean, the back cover description says she fails this test. And it's like, no, she didn't. She passed it. She just didn't get a very good score.
She didn't get as high a score as she wanted.
Yeah. It's like, there's a difference.
Between not passing and passing. And so her mom's just going off on her. And so she's just like, and, you know, I was like, you go, girl, because your mom deserves this. And she tells her mom, you know what? Just back off. I'm doing the best I can. Just back off. And then she, which we hate this, but she blocked her number mm-hmm. on her phone. But she kind of needed that voice out of her head. And I supported her in that.
Yeah, I was kind of okay with that. I thought it would, that whole breakdown with her parents would have, come to roost more than it did. I thought, the moment that her and her mom end up having towards the end was, nice. But, it just...
It was nice, but it never really... We never walked away thinking, well, was the problem fixed? Because...
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, her mom never, apologizes for what she did, or...
I mean, we get a sense from the epilogue that, it sort of has been fixed, but...
It still is... You know, we don't see that on the page, and that was, a big deal in the book. So we needed, I think, something on the page that...
I think mainly the book could have dealt with editing and just picking a, stronger identity and, sticking with one thing. Or at least, two things.
Yeah.
Right? So... Either it's a romance and medical school thing, or romance and Ghanaian culture thing, or romance. You notice that romance is always in here. But romance and friendship drama thing, you know. I don't know. I think there was just... I think she had a lot of things that she wanted to put in there, and I get that. But it made the book kind of mushy in its, identity, I would say. Any other rants that you need to say other than the conflict, which we're going to talk about next?
It did kind of get bogged down in the minutiae. Yeah. And this is, I think, more of a pacing thing. But there were things... So much of it was just a day-in-the-life kind of situation where it just would talk... Mm-hmm. Talk you through a whole day or a whole situation. And
you know that I skimmed through a lot of that.
And it's a lot of information that just didn't need to be there.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's talk about the conflict. So
they have this lovely evening mm-hmm. and she asks if she's...
Well, they do and they don't. So that's that's the beginnings of where I start getting frustrated with her, is she shows up 20 minutes late to this date that they're going to have.
Because she's a medical student and she got stuck.
No, that's not why. She was
I thought she got stuck.
No, she was watching stuff with Nia.
Oh, that's right. Gosh, dang. The whole thing was about her being late, and I'm thinking, you cannot be a medical student and showing up at crap late. But
So she shows up late to this dinner because her and Nia were goofing around, and they were watching something on
YouTube.
Yeah, and so she shows up late to this dinner. She shows up, and he is talking to this older lady at the bar. And the older lady's kind of giving him the eye, and he's being friendly with her. And she's all pissy with him all throughout dinner. And he's like, what's the deal? What's going on? She's like, you're flirting with that lady. And he's like, are you kidding me? he's like, you show up 20 minutes late, and I'm just chatting to, the person at the bar for something to do.
Yeah.
And, you're mad at me? And she's just all, pissy and huffy with him. And, And then,
they get over it,
and that's whatever. But, and then they go back to one of their places,
No, you're doing it wrong.
Okay, what am I skipping?
Well, that's where, when they leave the restaurant, that's when she asks him, you know, so am I your girlfriend now? And he just like goes blank and,
And
she's like, oh, well, obviously this, you know, you don't want to be with me. And so, so he's like, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this. And she gets in an Uber and she's leaving. He's like, I'll call you tomorrow. I swear I'll call you tomorrow. And we're going to talk about it. They were both a little drunk. There was just a lot going on. And so I think he just didn't want to tackle it then. Then she doesn't hear from him for over 5 days, I want to say. Nothing. He doesn't call, doesn't text, doesn't nothing. Mm-hmm. And so finally, after 5 days, he shows up at her house with a plant.
Yeah.
And she's been pissed this whole time.
Yeah.
And I guess she's texted him and he hasn't replied. And he gets there and he says his ex-girlfriend found out she was pregnant. And I'm not sure how they did this.
I'm not sure either. I think she went to...
He went with her to her first OBGYN appointment.
Yeah. And I think that they determined that the...
Pregnancy started after.
Pregnancy is new enough to where...
He's not the father.
Correct.
And, but he was worried that he might be the father. And so he wasn't sure...
So that's why he didn't call her, is because he wanted to, like, figure things out before he called her. But she, okay, she rightly points out, you could have shot me a text and said, like, hey, some shit's going down. I need to figure something out. But, like, you are still a priority. I still want to talk. But, like, give me a second to figure some stuff out.
Yeah.
Like.
Anything like that.
Yeah.
Anything.
Which, you know, we've had this conversation time and time again about, like, just shoot a freaking text. Just, like, how hard is that?
Or just call her and give her a synopsis of what's going on. I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, so he said he was embarrassed and he was worried about, you know, whether this kid was his and he was going to try and make it work if he had to, or
not even make, no,
he not make it work with her, but make it work where he could be a father to this child if it was his child.
Correct.
And so, you know, he
and, like, he still wanted to be with her even if the child was his, but he wanted to, like, know what that was going to look like before he
approached her with
it. Approached her with it. And, but they, like...
So quickly she forgives him from all this, and he says he loves her, and she says she loves him, and then they bang it out for the first time.
Yeah.
And then after they bang it out, they're laying in bed. Yeah. His phone rings. And
he gets up out of bed.
Gets up out of bed, is speaking in Spanish to someone on the phone.
Yeah.
And leaves the room so he could speak in Spanish. And she's just sitting there
fuming.
Fuming. And he comes back in and she's just, who are you talking to? How can I trust you?
Why are you being so shady?
Why are you leaving the room to talk on the phone? Who, and, you know.
And he's like, it was my, you know, auntie.
My auntie.
And I was talking to her about my dad, kind of thing. And
well, I don't even think he says that, but it he shouldn't have to. I mean,
yeah.
She just goes off, and then she's just like, okay, we're through. We're done. And he's like, what?
Well, she's like, because if you can't have, like, just a normal conversation in front of me. And I told Mom, I'm like, maybe he just doesn't want to talk to, like, an older relative while you are laying naked next to him in bed. Like, sorry. Like, that's just... like, gonna be awkward for people sometimes.
Or a lot of people, when they're speaking a language that someone doesn't understand, they think it's rude to speak in another language in front of another person. And so they, you know, so he left the room to have a conversation with his aunt. And it just...
Well, and listen, we are always telling my dad, like, go have your loud conversation somewhere else.
He'll answer the phone while we're sitting watching TV and he'll be having this long, this out loud conversation. We're like, just... move. Go in the other room.
Else so that we can continue on with what we were doing. But so she just gets all pissed off. And at one point she's like, well, you know that, like, for my job, I'm probably eventually going to have to move. Like, are you even going to do that with me? And he's like, if and when we get to that point, like,
we'll cross address that bridge.
She's like,
get there.
If, and she gets all pissed off at him. And I'm like, girl, calm down. Like, I mean, on both fronts, they literally just reconciled and now she's coming at him like a crazy person. Sorry. And so he says, yeah, if we get to that point, like, we'll talk about whether or not I'm going to move. And it's like, girl, you're acting crazy. Yeah. He's wondering if at this point, sorry. And, I mean,
they break up for several weeks.
Yeah. I think it's like, a couple months to us.
Maybe, yeah. I can't remember. The timeline in this book was a little bonkers.
And she's, like, miserable, and she finds out that his dad is in her hospital.
In an intensive care.
And so she's like, this is, you know, like, I want to help him.
I want to be there for them.
Yeah. And so she does, like, to her credit, and they reconcile, and it's cute and sweet, and I did like, the reconciliation and the mural and all that stuff. I thought that was cute. And I thought the epilogue was nice. I just don't know if I buy it.
They just, both of them had their moments of, her more so than him, but of just, where is this coming from, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about Sex Baby.
That's pretty tame.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I think that made it a gromance more than anything, because it's just very tame in the sex department.
Yeah, because it even takes a while before...
It's slow burn, they don't have sex for a while, and then it's very, it's one of those sex scenes where it talks more about their feelings than what's actually going on.
Yeah. And how hot he is for her ass.
Yes, he is.
Which, you know, like...
He likes those curvy girls.
Yeah, which, get it. You know,
I'm here for that.
What was your swooniest moment?
My swooniest moment was building the fort.
I thought about that one. I put the mural just because I thought that that part was cute.
Yeah. And
I also just liked his abuela saying, like, go show her.
Go show her.
Come on.
Go take her to see it.
I thought that was cute.
And he painted a mural of her in the garden where he met her. And mine is when she was upset because Nia had left, she called him and he said, come on over. And so she goes over to his house and he just gets out a whole stack of blankets. And she's like, what do we need all those blankets for? And he says, we're building a blanket fort. That's cute.
Yeah. Okay. So that's maybe our less than favorable comments. Let us hear from some of you. First up, we have audio from Catherine.
Ooh.
So let's hear from Catherine.
Hey, y'all. I just re-listened to my audio note that I made when I did On Rotation as a free-for-all, which I'm definitely not the first or last Noyomo, I don't think, to have done this book as a free-for-all. I think so many of us have read it at this point that... I was actually shocked when I saw it on the poll and realized we'd never done it as a group before, because I just assumed we had, because it's been on so many free-for-alls, I guess. And I really love it, and I knew I loved it, but it was funny listening to my audio note again, because even though I remembered, like, that it was such a good book, there was a lot about it that I had forgotten, like, about how they met up again at a Beyonce concert, and just other little things like that. But it just goes to show that when you love a book, that feeling that it gives you is your main takeaway and not as much all of the small plot points and such. I'll reiterate that child life specialists in hospitals are amazing. They are there from everything from making sure that shots don't hurt the kids to doing memory making with a bereaved family after they've lost a child. I recommended this to a child life specialist earlier this week, and I think she immediately bought the book because it's really not a job that's ever represented in books. And so I just remember really liking that it was. The other thing is that there's not very many interracial relationships represented in fiction and in romance novels, but when they are, they're mostly like a white person plus a person of color. And so having an interracial relationship where both of them were people of color, there was no white people involved. It's just an underrepresented type of relationship that's in fiction. And so it was really cool to see. Obviously, as a product of the other type of interracial relationship, I'm still happy to see those too. But, you know, diversity is about the diversity within our bookshelf, not just within one book. Anyway, I really loved this book. I have no idea what my quibbles with it were, since I read it 2 years ago. So that's my recommendation. If you have any quibbles, just forget about them and remember all the good parts. All right. Y'all take care. Bye.
Sorry, Catherine.
Sorry.
Yeah, we obviously had some quibbles.
I did also, I agree with her that I do like the mixed race of, you know,
interracial that does not include white.
Yeah.
yeah, I did too, especially because you've got like two pretty strong cultural identities there with, yeah, him being Hispanic. I don't, did they ever like say specifically, I don't think so, that I can remember.
Was it Puerto Rico? Or were they going to Puerto Rico?
I don't remember.
I can't either.
But yeah, I did also like that. And yeah, I thought it was interesting also to learn about the child life and what he was doing there.
I loved all that stuff. And yeah, the med student stuff, the child life stuff, the
Beyonce stuff, like her new album, I love it. I talked to some people who were saying that it was weird to them, but I was like, what? I love it. It's amazing. So yeah, I thought it was great. Or think it's great. Bodyguard is my favorite song. If anybody's interested, that is just like a bop to the nth degree. Anyway, there's your Beyonce tangent for the week. And so Catherine, I'm sorry that, but I know that we're not the only ones that didn't like it. So that makes me feel...
Well, we did like it. I mean, we liked it okay. It just had... We had issues with parts of it.
Correct. Maida says, I read this a while back after it was recommended on a free-for-all. Unfortunately, it fell flat for me. I didn't feel the chemistry between them and was kind of annoyed by Angie's indecision. Maybe just a mismatch in life stage between me and the characters. Yeah, I could also see that.
Yeah.
For me as well. Because there were a lot of times where I'm just like, oh, honey, you're so young.
That's the problem with most of these books for me is that I'm just like, come on.
Yeah.
This is not the way adults act.
Cassie says, I have mixed feelings about this book. I really enjoyed it as a story of Angie's transition into adulthood and all of the glimpses into her medical training. I also really liked the view into Ghanaian culture. Unfortunately, I did not enjoy Angie and Ricky's romance. I didn't really like them together. Their relationship was a little too angsty for me, and their lack of communication skills got to be annoying. I think they improved on that as the book went on, but I just wasn't very excited to see these two together. Also, I know Ricky claimed he wasn't flirting with Angie when he first met her, but if he were my boyfriend, I'd feel betrayed by that. Yeah. The author tried to paint Camila as an evil ex for not feeling comfortable with Ricky having female friends, but Ricky didn't really prove himself to be trustworthy that way, so maybe Camila was onto something there. Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
I mean, I think the main thing that they say about Camila is that she, like, she strayed because she felt like he never was in love with her. And he was like, and then, you know, I met you and I got thinking that maybe...
I wasn't.
And...
Which means that... And he even says, I've loved you since that first time I met you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so then you literally were cheating on your girlfriend. Mm-hmm. If not actually, then emotionally. So... Yeah.
Then, and she was right.
And she was right.
And then last, we didn't get many comments on this one, but so last we have audio from Anna. So let's hear from Anna.
Hey, No Yomo's mom and Ellen. Anna here with some quick thoughts about On Rotation. So I didn't connect very well with this one. I'm not really sure exactly what it was. I couldn't really put my finger on it. I think that it just seemed like there was kind of a lot going on. There were a lot of stories that other than the romance that were happening, kind of about Angie going to school and about some friendship things and her parents, dealing with her parents. So I think kind of all of that didn't, kind of distracted from the romance plot. Not that they weren't interesting. They were, it was interesting storylines, I thought, but and made it a romance, but also just didn't really focus on the relationship development between Angie and Ricky. So I felt like I never really connected super strongly with that. I was wondering, I felt like there wasn't a lot of dialogue. So I was wondering what Ellen thought of that. It seemed like when I was reading the book, there were like tons of just really long, heavy feeling paragraphs that were a lot of story and explanation. And then I didn't really connect very well with the footnotes. And as I was doing whisper syncing, so I was listening to both audio and this and then reading the book, and I wasn't even realizing when I was listening to the audio that there were all these footnotes, but they seemed kind of like weirdly placed. They didn't really like add to the story. Sometimes they were just like explanation of terms, like definitions and stuff. And other times they were like dialogue, which I thought was kind of interesting. I never really seen that before. So I don't know that really added anything or was like necessary to have these footnotes. I don't know if that's just a style choice. I don't really know enough about writing. So it was just really interesting. I was wondering what other people think about the footnotes. Anyway, this was kind of felt like a roller coaster of emotions with kind of, it felt like this on again, off again type of stuff with between Angie and Ricky. Sometimes she felt confident, it seemed like, in their relationship, despite some of the other things that were going on with Camilla and things like that. And then other times she was like super jealous, kind of on a drop of a hat. And it was kind of jarring. So like, for example, when they were at the spa and then I think Ricky was jealous of her interacting with another guy, but they weren't together at this point, nor had they seemed to be together. And that was never mentioned again. Like, she was mad at him, and then she went in the locker room and talked to her mom and then forgot about being mad at him. And then the interaction after felt kind of strange because they never really talked about him being jealous. And then I thought like the author would later talk back to that, or like Andrew would remember like, oh yeah, maybe he's into me because he was like feeling jealous. But then I think it was never brought up again. And then when Angie was in the bar or in the restaurant, Ricky was waiting for her at the restaurant, and then he was, I guess, flirting with like the older woman who Angie described as Pamela Anderson's like older sister or something like that, or doppelganger. And Angie was like super jealous about that, and it seemed kind of strange that it seemed like a quality of like Ricky that he was like such a nice person that he like got along with people really well. But then it seemed like Angie never really got there to like have that thought of like, oh yeah, this is why I like this person, because he's very personable. She was just like blindly jealous. It was just kind of strange. Like, I don't know. A lot of times what was being described like wasn't very, I wasn't like really understanding it very well, but other times it was like I could kind of see where she was coming from, and I kind of felt like the same, where I was like, oh yeah, I understand like having a crush on guys and like wanting to like, you know, be like, get along with them. But then also like the like blind jealousy that was happening was just kind of strange. I don't know that I was really connecting very well with it. So yeah. And then when her best friend Nia, I think was her name, moved out, that felt like very abrupt, and I didn't really see that coming. But it just felt kind of like all these bad things were happening to Angie, and then they weren't really handled in a way. I don't know. They were handled very strangely. Like, Angie never really reaches out to her. Nia doesn't talk to her for 15 days, but she didn't make an effort. If this is her ride and die best friend, it just seemed like she just like let it happen, and it felt like a very severe thing to happen after she felt like Angie was just being kind of self-centered and focusing on herself, and they didn't really talk about it very much. I don't know. I'm kind of babbling. So yeah, I'm just curious what other people thought of this, if they were maybe able to connect better. I'm really excited to hear what y'all think of it, because I think it just didn't, I don't know, it didn't do anything for me. And also, I just got home yesterday from Australia and had a wonderful trip, and wasn't able to post any thoughts on Fangirl Down, but I am a dietitian and I'm also an avid golfer. So I have a lot of knowledge of type 1 diabetes and also golf. And so that was a super awesome book for me. Like, I really connected really well with it. I really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed hearing Ashley and Mom and Ellen discuss it. And I wish I could have contributed, but it just didn't work out with the timing. But also, one more thing about On Rotation is that I had started reading this book, and then I got Fangirl Down, and so I stopped reading On Rotation and read Fangirl Down, and then picked back up On Rotation. And so maybe that, I felt like it didn't connect very well for me, because I read it kind of like in two pieces. But anyway, I really enjoyed Fangirl Down, and I really loved hearing y'all talk about it, and On Rotation, not so much. So anyway, hope y'all enjoyed the week and the weekend, and I can't wait to hear from everybody. Thanks so much. Bye.
And I think we are all of one accord on that.
I think you mentioned all the same things we mentioned.
Yeah. And yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Like, I think you are on point with us, at least, obviously. Mom, final thoughts or thoughts on...
No, I think I've ranted enough.
And I hope you had a wonderful time, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't hate it, but there are parts of it that I liked and parts of it just that
didn't quite hit.
Didn't hit for me.
For us, I would say. Okay. Those are our thoughts and some of your thoughts on Rotation by Charlene Obuobi. We would love to hear more from you on our Facebook page, our Facebook group, which is Not Your Mom's Facebook group, our Goodreads group, our Twitter and Instagram, which are at Not Your Mom's Rom, or you can email us at notyourmomsromancebookclub@gmail.com. So if you want to read along with us and email us with your thoughts, or if you would like to suggest a book for us to read, we'd love to hear from you. Next week on April 8th, we will be chatting about The 7-Year Slip by Ashley Poston. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever your favorite podcasts are sold for free. Don't forget to leave a review because it helps the show, and we just love to read them. All right. Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome, Ellen.
Bye.
Bye.
Not Your Mom's Romance Book Club is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts.